You know, that's really ministered to me. And it's about this message today. How do we pay it forward? The ripple effect. So if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we'll stand to read verses 37 and 38. Luke chapter 6, just two verses, but they're powerful. 37, 38. Luke chapter 6. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And Father, we thank you for the reading of your word now, and we ask your Holy Spirit to be here today to teach us this great truth of paying it forward and how it will cause a ripple effect. And certainly you taught us that best at the cross. And I pray that we'll learn that lesson today. In Jesus' name, I pray for your fresh oil. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Got a question for you. What is a blessing? Here we are approaching Thanksgiving. What is a blessing before it's a blessing? What is a blessing before it's a blessing? Obedience. Think about it. A blessing before it's a blessing is obedience. Paying it forward is the concept of sharing the blessing you have received with others, not because they deserved it, but because you choose to do so. The phrase pay it forward was made popular by the release of a movie back in the year 2000 entitled Pay It Forward. In the movie, the school teacher, played by Kevin Spacey, gives his class an assignment. He said, look at the world around you and fix what you don't like. One student in the movie, his name was Trevor. The person who played Trevor was Haley Joel Osment. He comes up with this idea. In order to fulfill the assignment, he came up with the pay it forward concept. Here's how he drew it on the board. You know, you've seen the movie. He drew himself, and then he drew three other people. And then from those three other people. And the ripple effect went on. But here's what he wrote. Number one, it must be something that really helps people, okay? Number two, something that they can't do for themselves. That's important. Something they can't do for themselves. And number three, do it for them and then do it for three other people. In the movie, the concept conceived in the mind of a small boy and put in action was shown on the movie screen, and then there was a movement following that of paying it forward. You may have been a recipient. How many of you, maybe you were in the line of a fast food restaurant, drive-through, and someone paid something in front of you? Did that ever happen to you? Happened to me. I'm amazed how that movement happened. Well, I want to talk about that movement today, and I pray that just like this movie, that God will move us today. Number one is the principle. Now, you find it interesting when you study something in its proper context. What is the real principle? What is the key thought here? Well, the thought is this, that God has called us to be more about giving than we are about judging. Really. That's what the context of this principle is. So what are the principles? The principle of perspective is what I want to talk about. Pay it forward with your judgments. Verse 37 starts out with the admonition, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it shall be given to you. So the first principle for righteous judgment is to be generous to others in our judgments. Church folks are some of the most judging people you will ever meet. Amen. I thought I'd get an amen from that. They are. And yet, Scripture teaches, and Jesus taught us by his life, that you're to be more about giving than you are about judging. Giving generously when it comes to mercy, because God has given generously to you when it comes to mercy, has he not? When it comes to our judgment and perception of others, what goes around comes around. Jesus taught that principle best in the context, and I don't need to re-preach this, I'll just read it and it'll preach itself. Luke 6, 41, 42, look down just a few verses. Verse 41, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth," we're talking about perception, "not the beam that is in thy own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite," Jesus said, "cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Let's start paying it forward with our judgments by being generous. As recipients of the grace of God, let us pay grace forward, not judgment. It's so easy to judge someone. But what is Jesus saying? Get the big beam out of your eye before you try to get the splinter out of someone else's eye. You know why we judge others? Because we don't want to be judged. But yet the Bible says with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. Ooh, that steps on our toes. There's the principle of perspective. It's how you see things. And by the way, look up here, folks. 9 times out of 10, you're wrong for what you see. You are. You know how I know that? Been there and done that. You can see things, and it's not the way it is. Good example, I think I've given you this. I needed some boxes some years ago to ship some glass. And I went to our chairman of deacon's business, and I said, I need to get some boxes, Lonnie. And Lonnie said, well, go down to ABC store and get the 3 boxes there. Their boxes are better padded. And I'm walking out the door, and Lonnie, our chairman of deacons, said, wait a minute, pastor, that ain't going to work. People are going to think our pastor's walking out of the ABC store with 3 cases of liquor. Now, I was just going to get boxes. I've never even had a drink. But yet I would be perceived as buying 3 cases of liquor. You see, we can judge people, and yet we don't know the whole story, do we? We only see part of it. What they would see is 3 boxes. And I would know that they're empty. They would be sure to think they're full. Okay? So the principle of perspective. Then there's the principle of purpose. Notice what he says. And the word good there, measure, in verse 38, actually is like full measure, good measure. The second principle of purpose is talking about good measure. God is good in all that he does. God is just and fair. This is important that you hear this. He can never cheat us. We may shortchange ourselves and even cheat ourselves, but God is always good when it comes to measuring. This is really a key principle because God makes all the wrongs in life right. Okay? So we're talking about purpose right now, not prosperity. We're looking at purpose. All the unjust judgments, he makes just. All the things in life that is unfair, fair. Vengeance is not ours to repay, it is God's. Let's pay mercy forward, and let's be more like our God. As God has measured his mercy toward us, let's pay his mercy forward. Jesus was addressing the religious order of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for their pious judgment of others. And that was his purpose in this context, to really deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then the principle of prosperity. You see, in verse 38 it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What a great principle of prosperity from God. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I do not believe in a prosperity gospel, but I do believe in a gospel that is prosperous. Would it not be great that we had so much wealth that we could just shake it and share it with everyone we know? Talk about getting your finances together. Well, this is the way God says get it together. Now, wow, does God have things together? Is God a God of order? Now, I want you to listen to me. God knows how to get things together. It says he will shake heaven and earth to bless us. God will never, ever shortchange anyone. We have literally shortchanged ourselves from the blessings of God. Remember I said a blessing before it is a blessing is obedience? A blessing before it's a blessing is obedience. What does it mean to be pressed down and shaken together? Have you ever looked at sugar? It's a granular type substance. The grains are irregular in their shape. And when you fill a spoon with sugar, there's probably more air than sugar in the spoon. This is because we cannot cause all those little crystals to fit together perfectly. When God fills a spoon with sugar, it's very different. God will press the sugar down. He'll shake the sugar together. And we do this in order to get more in a container. Once God has finished his shaking down and pressing it together, he will cause it to run over the top of the spoon. His spoonful of sugar is substantially more than ours. It can be a hundredfold plus when it comes to God. This is a great promise that I am about to talk about. I want us to think about the measure that we use to give. You see, we limit God's ability to prosper us by the measure of our own doing. And so while God will never cheat us, we can cheat ourselves. And I'm afraid that's where, and I'm not talking just about money here. Listen to me carefully. Listen carefully. We cheat ourselves out of a lot of blessings because we're not willing to be obedient. When we obey God, the Bible makes it very clear that he's always blessed his children. God will bless people who are obedient. And God won't bless people who are disobedient. And so what is the promise here? We've talked about the principle, and I'm trying to move quickly. I want to talk about the promise. Notice what it says in verse 38. Give and it shall be given to you. That's what God says. He says, and it shall be. And when God says it shall be, would y'all like to know the Greek interpretation of that? It shall be. That's right, Matt. It will be. All God has to do is speak it. He spoke the world into existence. Can God speak? Well, let's find out. That's my first point. Glad you asked. The promise is right here in God's word. It says it shall be. I can't even trust my words. I can't trust your words and everything, but I can trust God's word in all things. His words are always words of promise. Listen to these words. These are deep words. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able, now here's what God's able to do. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So whose word are you going to take? Mine? Yours? The federal government? The New York Stock Exchange? I'll be honest with you. All of that is messed up. There's not a person here today who's perfect. And no one has ever spoke perfectly. None of us are perfect. Our government's not perfect. That's a joke. The New York Stock Exchange is not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but God's word is perfect. Listen to what the Bible says, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, why is it so many people are perishing? There's a lot of people who are perishing financially, and I know why. They can't take God at his word. I said there's a lot of people perishing, and I know why. They can't take God at his word. Here's God's word, Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And then he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's what he said. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching this message today. God taught us how to pay it forward. He did on the cross. And we are recipients of what he did on the cross. Amen? He paid it forward for us. He died for us. And now we get the privilege, and that's my next point, that we get to enjoy God's wealth. Our God is not poor. Hello? Sometimes we treat God, well, God, poor God, he's on welfare. I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. Notice what he says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's God's wealth. God lacks nothing. He owns it all. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. He shares his wealth with us only as we are good and faithful stewards or managers. Why do some people have more than others? Because some people know how to manage their money better than others. I'm amazed over the years we started this process here at our church to help people with an application. That revealed everything. When people started filling out the application, they were putting $35,000, $40,000 a year, and they wanted us to help them pay their light bill. And I said no. You know why I said no? Because they just need to learn to manage what they already have. You can either enable people, and that's what you're doing, you're enabling people. So we have a policy here, we'll help you if you're hungry, we'll help you if you need a place to stay, but we're not going to pay your bills for you. You and I have got to teach people that you need to manage, and it's never about how much money you have, it's what you do with what you have. Amen. And some people say, well, God's just not done me right. God, I'm poor old me. No, I'll be honest with you. God has promised that if you put him first, he said all these other things will be added unto you. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, that don't work for me. Well, God's word is a lie then. God's word is true, and God's word says, I will open up the windows of heaven. And by the way, everything that we have, folks, is from God. There's nothing that we have that is not from God. Sherry was telling me about this thing. What was that lady's name? You saw Kathy Griffin, and she's a what? Comedian, and she won this award this week. And she got up, and I just want to tell everybody that everybody's always standing up saying Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has never done nothing for me. And I won this award. He never has helped me. Oh, yes, he did. He helped her. Oh, yeah. He gave her the talents. He gave her the mind. He gave her the job. Hello? Folks, we forget who God is. God is in control. And you know who we are? We are fragile beings. Compared to God, I mean, God owns it all. You came into this world with nothing and you're leaving with nothing. I've preached hundreds and hundreds of funerals, and I've followed many hearses to the grave, and I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. Nobody can carry it with you. But God's wealth. A little story about Jamie and God. The little boy Jamie, he says, God, how long is a million years to you? And God says, it's but a second to me, Jamie. Jamie says, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God says, it's just a penny to me. Jamie says, God, can I have a penny? God says, just a second. God's in control. He has it all. And the only thing that's going to count for all eternity is what you and I do with it. Now, I'm going to tell you this next point. This is hot off the press because this was given to me, I believe, while we were worshiping today. The promise of God, what happens in worship? I want to talk about God's worship. We need to give. And I'm talking about giving worship to God. I know when you say the word give, everybody always thinks the offering plate. But I'm going to tell you something. As the praises go up, the blessings come down. Amen? And I was standing there today while we were singing these praise songs, and we were reading that scripture, and the Holy Spirit just grabbed my heart, and I could just hear God saying, the only reason you don't praise me any more than you do, Ronnie, is because you're too full of the devil. That's what I heard. You got too much. Satan don't want anybody to praise God. No. And so our flesh does it by our nature, by our flesh, we don't want to praise God. In fact, here's the truth. We want the praise. We want the glory. And don't y'all look like you're spiritual. You're no different than I am. You're dealing with your flesh just like I'm dealing with my flesh. And our flesh keeps us from giving worship to God. Really. Because we think about all these other thoughts. Well, I don't feel good today. Well, I've got sort of a headache today, and I got sinus issues all the time. But it's not, I don't come to church based on my feelings. I come based on my faith. You see, giving God worship is more important than how I feel. Hello? Giving God worship is more important than me being concerned about what others will think. You know what? As my arms go up to Him, I'm thinking about His arms went out for me. Amen. And I can thank Him and I can praise Him. And I've never shouted on my goodness, but bless God, I sure can shout on His goodness. I can have a spell before breakfast because Jesus got up early on a Sunday morning for me. Yes, He did. And thank God for the victory we have. That's worship, to worship God. We're to worship God with what He's trusted us with as well. The offering plate is a very tangible way of worship. One of the most holy times of worship is during the offering. Most people will choose to talk to their neighbor, but it's one of the most important times. Why? Because we're offering our hearts to God in worship. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One mother noticed her son was looking rather guilty as the offering plate was passed down their particular row. He was holding back the $5 that his daddy had given him to place on the offering plate. The mother thought quickly and she spoke quickly, "Son, that money's tainted. Drop it." And he dropped it in the offering plate. And he asked his mother, said, "Mother, why was that money tainted?" She said, "Because it taint is yours and it taint is mine. It's God's." Amen. You know how Baptists are. I'm not going to look at the offering plate. I'm sure there's one in there. We fold the dollar bill up so it'll look like we're giving more than we really are. Oh, don't y'all look spiritual? It happens. People fold it up. It'll make it look more. That's the last thing I want to talk about is proportionally. Proportionally. And I've learned some lessons from some of you. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Faye Klein gave a testimony some years ago. I've never forgot this because the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart. She was up here talking about how God had worked in her life and how Jim had taught her a lot about giving. And I know this because I was very close to Michelle and they taught Michelle a lot about it. But it goes back to what Faye said. And it really ministered to me when Faye said this. She said, "Do you want all of God's blessings? Do you want God to round things off? Then in your giving, round it off." You know what I started doing after that Sunday? Just rounded it off. A lot of people say, "Okay, I'm going to calculate this 10%, and I'm going to give this amount." That's where I feel good. I love what Faith said. "Do you want God to round it off?" That's what she said. "Then you round it off." Now, I didn't think amens on that. But how does God weigh? Notice what He says. The same measure in verse 38. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So how does God weigh us? Well, in Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, it says this, "There are weighed in the balances and are found wanting." You see, God's judgment was upon King Belshazzar of Babylon because he used God's holy vessels in worship and he offered those vessels to the gods of gold, silver, iron, wood, and stone, which Daniel told him that see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God whose hand thy breath is, and who blessed you with all that you have. At that time, Babylon was the most wealthiest nation in the whole world. And here's this man offering one of the vessels that were used in worship of God, Jehovah God, to the gods of silver, iron, wood, and stone. And an armless hand began to write on the wall. And this was the writing, according to Daniel chapter 5, "Tekel, tekel, upharsin." It means you are being weighed and you're being judged and you are found wanting. And that night, Belshazzar's life was taken. I'm telling you, a lot of folks don't realize how that we're squeezing God out of our lives. Hello? Instead of thinking about the blessings of God, we're thinking about our way of measuring. How does God measure? Well, I like the story about the man who owned the candy store. And this lady frequently came into his business, and the man that owned the store saw her son, and he said, "Son, you reach into this big jar of candy and you get a handful of candy." Well, he won't shy, but he acted shy. He just sort of looked down like that. He acted sort of funny and his mother was embarrassed. Finally, the store owner just reached in and grabbed a big old hand of candy and gave it to the boy. They got outside the store, and the mother scolded her son, said, "Why did you really embarrass me there? Why did you act shy? You're not a shy boy. Why did you allow that man to do that when he was offering you that candy?" And he said, "Well, Mama, his hand's a lot bigger than my hand, and I wanted all the candy I could get. And if you want the blessings of God, one hand of God is bigger than all of our hands put together." Amen. And he knows how to reach down and bless his children. Do you think God wants to withhold any good thing from his children? He didn't. The Romans chapter 8 says he didn't withhold his only son. Then why would he withhold any other good thing? I mean, God wants to bless us. You know what? We prevent God from blessing us. A blessing before it's a blessing is obedience. And then I got to say this, and I'm about done. Proportionally, think about it's not about giving our finances, but giving our time and giving our work, God's work. I'm proud of our church in many ways. I'm proud. You talking about paying it forward. What started is just a small Thanksgiving meal, just thinking about others, now has gotten to be a huge thing on Thanksgiving Day. And look up here, church. Don't you think God's going to bless this church for reaching out and paying it forward to others? Oh, yeah. When you pick up one of those, I forgot what she called, Gordon's feathers? That was neat. We picked up several. And guess what? We'll get blessed for being a part of that. And you will too. I mean, paying it forward. When you do something like that, what does the Bible say? "For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The Bible says, "Cast your bread upon the water, back to you." God's work is a work that is never finished. Pay it forward. Paying it forward has that ripple effect. It shall be measured to you again. You can't outdo God. You can't outgive God. You can't outlove God. One thing you can do, you can go out and cause a ripple effect and paying it forward, all that he has done in you. You see, Jesus prayed in that, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And that's what I want to talk about now. I'm going to close this up. The Sunday school lesson today was about the will of God. Something you got out of it real quick. Someone tell me, what you got out of Sunday school today about God's will? His time. His time? Anything else? Faith. His glory. His glory. So how did Jesus deal with God's will? Now here he is in the garden, and they say this was the most difficult time there was. More so than even the cross. It was in the garden that the Bible says that he was sweating like drops of blood, and he was praying this prayer. First of all, "Lord, would you remove this bitter cup from me?" But then he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And aren't you glad he did his Father's will? Because, friend, it's God's will that makes the difference. Jesus obeyed the Father, and he went to the cross, and he paid it forward for you. Because Jesus paid it forward, your sin debt before a holy God, you are now forgiven. Will you receive all that Jesus paid forward for you on the cross? You see, that's what Jesus is saying here. The key thought in context, Jesus is teaching we are to be known as givers, not judges. And Jesus gave on the cross, amen? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You need not to perish. Jesus paid it all. He paid it in full. He didn't just pay a partial debt. He didn't put a down payment on your salvation. He did it all. Now, here's your problem. Here's my problem. We haven't received all he's done on the cross. You say, "Oh yeah, preacher, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven." But have you appropriated in your life all that Jesus has done? And the answer is no. He's done so much more for you. And it is God's will. Listen, church, it is God's will that you live. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." The word abundant there means life to the very fullness. And my question to you today, do you have life to the fullness? If not, it's only because you're cheating yourself. It's not because God cheated you. He did it all for you on Calvary's cross. He paid your sin debt in full. And you are cheating yourself when you're allowing the world, the flesh, and the devil to rule your life. And just like me sitting over here and worshiping today, you say, "Preacher, I can't believe you admitted that." Well, I want to pay it forward. I need to give him all the worship and all the praise and all the glory, for he has done great things for me. Amen? Great things for you. And you know what? All those praises, I believe we will be rewarded. We'll see him again in heaven. Amen? You can't take this world with you to heaven, but you can take lost souls with you to heaven. You sure can. And you can take all the worship, because I believe what the worship is down here, we're just getting ready for eternity. Amen. We're just getting ready for what God's going to do. And I believe God's going to do great things if you and I would just take hold of all he just did at Calvary and understand that he prayed. And I'm asking you to pray this now. Not my will, but thy will be done. What is God's will today for you? That none should perish and that all should come to repentance. That's the word of God. God don't want anybody perish. Someone said, how can a loving God send someone to hell? Well, a loving God has never sent anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting a loving God. Who did he die on the cross for? Somebody tell me. Who did he die on the cross? Everyone. Yellow, black, white, green, yellow. I don't care your color. I don't care your age. Jesus died for all. So if you're not saved today, whose fault is it? It's yours. If you're going to hell today, whose fault is it? It's yours. He paid it for you. Let me tell you, I want to point to this. He died on that cross for you just as much as he did for me. And he loves you just as much as he loves me. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit now will take over. This is your invitation. This is not mine. I don't give invitations. I can't invite anyone to be saved because I didn't die on a cross. But I'm thankful that you did. And you paid that price in full. Now, Father, I want to thank you for showing us how to pay it forward. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You gave your all. You paid it forward. And here we are in 2019. And people can still get saved. Because it's all been paid forward to the day. Today is the day of salvation. And I pray this invitation. That there's someone who would have enough boldness to say, I'm going to stop cheating myself. I'm going to stop robbing myself. And I'm going to stop judging myself. I've been saying to myself, I'm too big of a sinner to get saved. Well, God, you are too big a God to let them go to hell. Would you draw that person today? I pray for the strong, convicting power of the Holy Spirit to be so powerful here today that no one can even walk out the door who's not saved. I pray that the door will stop them in Jesus' name, that God, they'll be saved here today. And I pray for great conviction over every person, starting with this pastor, that we would give you the best worship that you're so worthy of, and that we'll pay it forward all the way to heaven, that we can start praising you here and worshiping you here and thanking you here, because when the praises go up, I do believe the blessings will come down. So God, may we give you praise. May we give you thanksgiving and thank you for this church. Thank you that we are an active church and that we are trying to pay it forward in this community. We're trying to reach this community one person at a time. Would you use this Thanksgiving meal that we'll pay it forward and we're asking nothing in return. When we go out with these meals, we ask for nothing. But God, may we start maybe asking people to do the same for someone else. And there would be a ripple effect throughout this entire community, throughout the Fort Bragg area. And all of a sudden, what this little boy did in that movie would take place in our church, and we would see the ripple effect of paying it forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand together as we sing.